I can't put into words still how special it feels. It's such an honour to be asked to lead your country.
I'm under no illusion that being assistant coach and player at the same time is going to be challenging. And I look forward to meeting the challenge head on and doing my best within both roles.
1 minute, I've got tears coming down my face, and then I'm like, oh my God, this is it. And it was like Monster had taken over me, and it was pure elation.
A huge thank you to the Netball Show. You really have helped us at England Netball take our message to new audiences.
You're listening to The Netball Show with Mizuno, and I'm Sasha Shipway. On this episode, I've been speaking to New Zealand journalist and commentator Jenny Woods. Her voice might just be familiar if you've been watching games with the Silver Ferns or ANZ Premiership Netball. Today, she's been telling me about the announcement of New Zealand's return to domestic netball after it was postponed by the coronavirus. So, Jenny, the last time we had you on the Netball Show was during the World Cup, and that feels worlds away right now. So it's difficult to imagine going to an event like that at this point. But we heard the news that the ANZ Premiership will be back on the 19th of June. What do you make of that news?
Well, I mean, it's just a godsend, to be honest, Sasha, and it's the news that we've been waiting for a long time. So netball had just had one round here of the ANZ Premiership way back in mid-March, and that seems like a lifetime ago too. So one round was played, we were just about to play the second round games, and then everything was suspended. So since then, it's been a pretty rugged time, actually, and I think it's probably been the same for all professional sport. And it was amazing watching it happen. It was a bit like watching dominoes fall around the world as the various, you know, big competitions stopped. And it eventually, you know, it hit here. So the various teams disbanded. Everyone, you know, went back to where their bubbles were, and that's been something that's been set up in this country where we, in our lockdown, you had a bubble that you had to stay in, and so all the players would have gone back to their various homes. And since then, they've been training individually and just itching to get back because, you know, there's been no sport or live sport to watch anyway, and there's been sort of obviously plenty of replays and what have you on the television. But this has been what we're hoping for. So 6 weeks away, we're up and running.
It's good to see, and I think there's a lot of people globally who are extremely excited to be able to watch netball, and they're hoping that they'll be able to view it all across the world. We know that Netball New Zealand said that there'll be no crowds at the game for obvious reasons. They're trying to ensure that the number of people gathering remains at fewer than 100. So it'll be quite different to what everyone is used to. Do you think that not having a crowd will have an impact on the game and the atmosphere in the venue itself?
Yeah, it may do. I mean, the first round we played there was no crowds, and I know a few of the players talked about it, how, you know, it was really strange because you could hear everything. And I know one of the Steel players commenting, yeah, you know, you've got to really watch your language because there's no crowd noise and everything gets picked up. But no, look, I think everyone will be so pleased just to see some live sport. I don't think it will matter too much. And one good thing out of there being no crowd is what they're going to do is play all these games. It's going to be 10-week competition, all played in Auckland at the one venue. And that venue is the Auckland Netball Centre. Now, those of you not in Auckland, this is not a big stadium. It's not built for crowds. It can't. And the reason it's not normally played there for TV games is because it can't accommodate a crowd. So this is going to be used for this revamped competition. And I know Netball New Zealand, one thing they're pleased about it is that they will be paying to use the stadium, and it'll be netball money going into a netball venue, if you like. So I think, like all sports, netball has taken a real financial hit over this, you know, what's happened, this virus. And because, of course, you know, revenue streams just stopped. And each of the teams in the ANZ Premiership, they've lost staff. They're now just a team with a coach. Most of them have lost their managers. They've lost their assistant coaches. So it's really bare bones stuff. And, you know, they'll be fine. I mean, you know, the attitude that netballers have, they get on and they do it. But it's not going to be going back to how it was, not straight away anyway.
That's really interesting about the financial aspect, because I saw an article earlier on about how vulnerable female sport is, and specifically netball. So it's just really, really fascinating looking at that side of it. And do you think that in the future it will change kind of the funding model for netball, or it should be looked at further so that, you know, it's kind of a bit more bulletproof than it actually has been at the moment?
Well, it's a good question, Sasha. I don't know, because it's, the one thing it has done is it has given a platform for women to speak out. What happened in this country is that Parliament, there's a bit of background, Parliament was suspended. And so to keep some kind of form of democracy, if you like, the government set up this thing called the Epidemic Response Committee, which was run by the leader of the opposition. The opposition in this country is leader of the National Party, which is a bit like the Conservatives, and you know, that sort of version of the Tories, and was full of opposition MPs. And so their role, that committee's role, was basically to hold the government to account, because the government was going to have such powers in this time that, I mean, jeepers, they could have just about done anything. So it's actually worked really well. That committee, they've been able to haul anyone they want before it to say, now listen, what's happening here, what's happening there? And I think most people think it's been a great success. One of those days was when they got all the sports bodies in, and that gave people like Jenny Wiley, who's the chief executive of Netball New Zealand, gave her a chance to really spell out to MPs the dire situation that women's sport could find itself in. Because I think the concern was, or is, it's not was, it is, it's current, is that when sports funding gets squeezed, it's the women's, I suppose, teams of a particular sport that get docked. For example, in rugby league or in rugby. It doesn't apply so much to netball, because obviously women are the predominant gender. But it was really well painted out. And I thought, in a way, this is, it's not good, but it's a good thing to get that spoken. And I've never heard it so clearly spelled out. And I thought Jenny Wiley did a great job, because she left people in no doubt as to just what a struggle it is for women in this country to get investment. And it's particularly true, particularly in some, you know, very rugby strong provinces. I know Canterbury, which is home to the Crusaders, which is one of our super rugby franchises, you know, they just find it so hard to get any money for netball out of people, because they all want to back the rugby team. So yeah, I mean, the money, the financial side of it has been big. And I should mention too that one of the netball zones and it was the one in Canterbury, has gone under. So that the tactics has now come under the umbrella, if you like, of Netball New Zealand. And they are now sort of funding those teams. So it's tricky times.
Gosh, it's so fascinating. I mean, no one would have predicted this, you know, back in January. It's just crazy thinking about it. And going back to something that you just mentioned a couple of minutes ago about all of the matches being played in one central venue, the Auckland Netball Centre, how logistically, like, will that happen? Will the teams themselves stay in Auckland for the 10 weeks? You know, how do you foresee it working? Will any team be disadvantaged or particularly advantaged because of that?
No, look, I think you possibly could argue, okay, look, the Auckland teams, it's going to be easier for them. But essentially, no. So the teams will come in and out. So the games are going to be played on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So they are going to go through the draw will be changed, but they're still going to do the over the 10 weeks. Each team will play each other three times. There'll be double headers, and they will get through the competition as they normally would. Now, the Mystics, the Stars, who are the two Auckland teams, and the Magic, obviously will be able to drive. So there's a cost saving there. They won't be able to fly. The teams further south obviously will fly in and fly out. They won't be staying up there for the whole 10 weeks. So there was quite a good quote from Yvette McCall's jury, who's the coach of the defending champs, the Te Wānanga o Ruakawa Pulse. And she sort of said, you know, so these games, 4 days a week, six teams all playing, not an even spread, but it's the same number of doubleheaders. So, you know, it's not even, but it is even. So you won't necessarily be playing the same number of games each weekend, but over, you know, when it all comes out in the wash, it will be as even as it can be. So I think all the teams are pretty philosophical about it. I mean, they just want to play. And yeah. I think they sort of are recognising that Netball New Zealand's probably, you know, making the best of a pretty grim situation. So they now get, I think from now they get about, what are we, May, yeah, mid-May. So they get 5 weeks prep. I think most of the teams are getting back together from the beginning of next week. So as I mentioned earlier, some of the team's players are all over the place. So they'll be going back to their centres and getting down to it.
That's great. I'm very excited to watch it, to be honest with you. And I think other countries will be watching to see if they can mimic that structure and how it works. And I guess one of my final questions, or probably my final question, is what do you think will be the knock-on effect of the delaying in play, and, you know, specifically for New Zealand, but also internationally, what do you think the impact will be?
Well, that's an interesting one, and I'm actually not sure. So this will now take us through to sort of mid to late August, I think, where this competition will now finish. So that's probably about a month later than normal. And normally, I mean, from memory, we always did have a sort of a bit of a lull between that and then our next one. Generally, I forget, I should know the order, but I don't. But generally, it's the Constellation Cup, there's the Quad Series, the Nations Cup. Now, the complication is, of course, that we've closed our borders. So even if we want England to come down, they can't at the moment. And I don't know how quickly those borders will open, because you would, I mean, you hear so many things, and I'm sure, you know, it's the same everywhere. It's quite hard to find out exactly what is actually factual and what is just, you know, I wonder if. But the general thinking seems to be that until there's a vaccine, those borders will probably remain closed, except for whether we can get a what they call a trans-Tasman bubble with Australia, because they also have tracked well in their handling of the, you know, handling of the virus. They have few cases like ours. They're diminishing. We had no new cases today. Yay. So
brilliant.
Yeah, and look, we've got we're lucky, you know, we've got a lot of things in our favour. We're a small country, we're an island country, we're not like Europe where you've got land borders and, or, you know, all those sort of complications. So, you know, we do have a natural advantage. So going back to your question, I'm not quite sure what will happen with the international scene. I think possibly we had a very successful series here in preparation for last year's World Cup, when we played the New Zealand men's team, we played the New Zealand A, and there's all those sort of options that we might have another series then. But also too, I think they will be hoping to get that Constellation Cup series perhaps increased to 5. I think at the moment it's 4 tests, so that could be something. But I think at the moment it's just terrific excitement about, you know, playing the game, and I must admit, I can't wait. I didn't have to call anything in that first round, so I was all set, ready to go for round two, and then it was gone. So I can't wait for, you know, roll on June the 19th.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I could tell that you're ready, because I've seen that you've been commentating the Sunflower Open Championships on Twitter, which has been so amusing. I would recommend that everyone goes and checks out your Twitter, because honestly, that really had me amused, you know, commentating on literally anything and everything. And it was brilliant commentary. I think that was the beauty of it. So we look forward to hearing you when they're actually playing again.
Well, thanks, Sasha. It was very nice to chat, and who knows, one day we'll meet up.
Oh, I hope so, definitely. Thank you, Jenny. Thanks to Jenny for speaking to us in that really insightful episode. I learned so much, and it was really, really fascinating to hear more about how netball has been run in New Zealand. And thank you very much for listening to this episode. We hope that you're all well, stay safe, and take care.
I can't put into words still how special it feels. It's such an honour to be asked to lead your country.
I'm under no illusion that being assistant coach and player at the same time is going to be challenging, and I look forward to meeting the challenge head on and doing my best within both roles.
One minute I've got tears coming down my face, and then I'm like, oh my god, this is it. And it was like Monster had taken over me, and it was pure elation.
A huge thank you to the Netball Show. You really have helped us at England Netball take our message
message to new audiences.